across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Amy's listening in the car on the way home. That's good news. Thank you, Amy. 0344-499-1000. Everyone's got a real boner about moving to this new building. Hey, guys, great luck in the new building. Enjoy the move. Hey, guys, looking forward to the start of a brand new era as you move into your new building. Well, I'm looking forward to the start of my last 7 months working for Talk Radio. That's what it probably signifies for me. I couldn't really, I like... You know, you see my house. I like things. I like old tech. I like old tech. I'm starting an old gaming museum in my house, and I like old tech, and I don't want to go to a swanky new studio where there might be important people in the building.
Yeah, and there's no parking.
There's no parking.
That's what
I don't actually know where it is. I've not been there yet to get our passes. I'm hoping that when we go tomorrow to go into work, we can get our passes. I'm hoping. If not... No show. Simple as that, really. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Let's go to June!
Ian!
The love of my life, you left on Sunday. I wanted a piece of your ass.
What?
Ooh.
Yeah, I did. June came on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep. And you saw the show.
Steady.
Come on.
You're making it go all crackly.
Yes.
What? I want to know what you did on Sunday.
Well, what did we do?
Because you got some extra listeners on your stream.
What are you doing? Hang on a minute. Why are you sounding so muffled? Is the phone inside your mouth?
No. Don't matter.
Go again?
Don't matter?
What are you?
That's worse. Where are you putting it?
What are you doing?
Am I doing what?
Well, I'm going to make an exception. Can you go on speakerphone?
Hang on, just a sec. Go on speakerphone. Hello.
I mean, how is that better?
That's better.
Is it?
Yeah. Are you on speakerphone now?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. It's one of those nights. Okay. Right, go on, June. What were you asking?
I was going to say...
Yes?
Am I allowed to come to another one of your shows?
No, you behaved appallingly.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, of course you can come, but maybe laugh at the next one, huh?
Oh, she laughed.
Well, I know what you want now. I've never been to a rabbit hole before.
No.
I wasn't sure how far we could go.
You could go as far as you want. You are very, very welcome, June. It was lovely to meet you on Sunday, and it was really nice to meet your daughter. And I know it was like two and a half hour journey there. I'm guessing it was a similar time back.
Yeah.
And
Kath
got home at 12. I got home at 1, thereabouts, you know. But we really appreciate it. It was lovely to see you, and we hope you enjoyed it.
We did, yeah. But we've had a lot of my friends... And my daughter's friends listening on the stream.
Yes, good.
And they really enjoyed it.
Oh, good, 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 good. I'm glad they did.
And my grandchildren liked the photograph.
Yay.
I was called a tart, I'm afraid.
You were called a what?
A tart.
A tart, wow.
Because I had a cuddle from Ian Lee, I'm a tart.
Well, then in that, you know, it was a gratefully received cuddle on my part as well. Hey, listen, June, it was nice to finally put a face to the voice, and it was nice to meet your daughter, and we really appreciate the support, so thank you.
Yeah, we're going to try and come down to Bath.
Oh, blimey.
To the Rondo.
Yeah, the Rondo Theatre in September. That's a great little venue. How long is that going to take you to get to?
Oh, it's only about an hour and a half.
Oh, nothing in that case. Fine. All right, well, we'll see you in Bath in September.
Okay, then.
Tutty bye. 0344-499-1000. Let's go to Pete. Good evening, Pete.
Hey, guys, you all right?
I'm fine, Pete. What's wrong with your... Is this going to be... apparently our radio signal isn't very good because someone flicked the switch to start the other antenna and no one's phone is working. I do wonder sometimes. Pete, what can we do for you on this holiest of Mondays?
Well, I was just hearing you talking about records and how you don't get any joy through flipping through them anymore.
Yeah.
And I get, I've realised I've got the same thing.
Hang on. Jeez. Your phone dropped out at the key moment. And I realise I've got the same thing with silence. So let's do that run up again.
I've got the same thing with DVDs.
CDs, of course, you're a younger man than I, Gunga Din.
DVDs.
He said CDs, right?
Yeah, and then DVDs. He's just remembered.
Already this sounds like a... shut up. This sounds like a fake call.
Why?
What idiot
yeah.
confuses CDs with DVDs?
You take them out of the box, they look the same, don't they?
Take them out of the box, they look the same. But in the box, they're completely, completely different.
This is true.
But he's talking about flipping through them, mm-hmm. right? Well, flipping through CDs. Flipping through DVDs. This guy is loco.
Tell him.
Yeah, I don't want to tell him. He might go crazy and try and kill me. It's not working for you anymore, Pete.
No, I think it's because I've got all the things that I'm going to want. Yeah, you know, most of them. So I'm looking for the really rare.
That might be it. Yeah.
Or at least the things that are obscure. You know, I mean, a couple of found a basically self-printed DVD for some hypnotist bloke, and that excited me.
Oh! Hang on a minute. That's excited me. A vanity DVD of some hypnotist bloke. I used to be a hypnotist. I used to collect videos of hypnotists from all around the world. Who is this guy? It's not Hugh Lennon, is it?
Alan Bates.
We've got to Google this dude. Do I know Batesy? Alan Bates here.
I think it was a DVD he was sending out to kind of bookers rather than sort of...
All right, not commercial
live
kind
show.
Of thing.
Oh, mate.
It was a couple of clips from Maltese TV where he seems to be performing.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I've not heard of Alan Bates. Well, that sounds great. But how long have you known? God, the phones have gone nuts, by the way. How long have you known that this has not been fun for you anymore? Or have you only just recently acknowledged it? Because this saying this thing out loud on Sunday was a real... It was a relief, but there was also sad. It was sad. It used to be one of my favourite great pleasures, was going through crates of records, just flicking through them.
I genuinely think I only realised about 20 minutes ago when you said it.
Mate. Oh, dear.
You know what's happened?
What?
You've completed DVDs.
I think so, because I'm... My thing now, Pete, as you know, is I'm really getting into this retro game kick, and I'm really, and this was after going to a fair with my boys, and something awoke in me when we had the kids. I got rid of all my stuff because I was thought it was a sensible thing to do, and I wasn't really playing with it. At the car boot, I wanted to flick through like old video games and old video game magazines, but that just wasn't there.
They don't turn up. I mean, yeah, because the thing is, you get these dealers who come in, you know, they get the earliest entry and they just swoop in and get everything that might be
plus,
at all valuable.
Plus, people put them on eBay these days, don't they?
There's that too, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm currently trying to declutter. I'm taking a break from it at the moment. I'm doing the Koji Kondo.
If you haven't touched it in a month, chuck it.
Yeah, if it doesn't bring you joy, get rid.
That's my opinion.
I'm not being quite that strict, but yeah, it's pretty much that.
Here's the thing. I am enjoying the clutter in my house now. I'm enjoying having one room that's quite cluttered. Now there is a focus for the clutter. Got my CDs, they're going to stay because I'm a big fan of CDs. But now I've got a focus for the clutter. I'm enjoying it being kind of cluttered. But if any, you know, I'm a single guy, I live on my own. If ever at some point down the line someone moved in with me, I'm going to have to get rid of a lot of junk, man, to create some space.
Some room for the nerds.
Well, I've got to say, your retro streams are really kind of... I'm having to restrain myself, because every time you open a new thing, I'm like, I could get one of those.
No, you could. I've just bought, to get indulge me one very geeky thing, just for the streamers. Basically, I don't think I'm going to be able to get my Dreamcast online because of my Sky router. So someone has persuaded me to buy a new router that might work. And it's just pound over fist is getting chucked out. But tomorrow, we're not messing. Tomorrow, if you join me on the stream, Pete, Ian Lee, twitch.tv/IanLeeGames. I'm playing games. No technical faffery. Games. Games, games, games. Will you join me?
If I'm not buried under a mountain of stuff, I'll be there.
Thank you, Pete. Nice to talk to you, man. I like Pete's voice. We had Pete phone up the rabbit hole at the weekend. He's got a good voice.
He's got a lively voice.
He's got more enthusiasm than we have got. Let's try Jill. Good evening, Jill.
Hey, little hen. When will you lay me an egg for my tea?
Pathetic. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. It's nice to start off with a little bit of The Damned. I mean, they're doing an Arthur Lee in love song or Brian McLean in love song, and I like their version, but their phrasing is ever so slightly off from what it should be, in my humble opinion, and that annoys me. As a love purist, I hear that, and I get frustrated because they're emphasising the wrong syllables in the wrong places, and it annoys me.
But ordinary people will just think it's quite good.
No. Those people don't count. We got the lead guitarist from Love coming in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to get his views on that, and I bet he'll be as furious as I am. It's the Late Night Alternative. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle is there.
Word.
Nettie Baker.
Back. Hello.
How you doing? You're right.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Nice to see you. We have to do the shorthand because we're going to sell you 2 dozen books tonight.
Yes,
we're going to sell 2 dozen books. She's here with her second. Well, it's not your second book, but it's kind of second in the series. More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. I've just tweeted the link, and you can't get it on Amazon yet. Why can't you get it on Amazon?
Well,
yet?
Because if you go straight to Amazon, you don't make any money. You make like 10p a book.
This is the thing.
So if you want to, like writing just normal books is like you may as well, if you worked in a shop, you would earn more money.
Yeah.
So to actually get some money for it, if you keep it online for 6 months, then you actually get a little bit of money.
It's true. Here's the thing as well, because I got a tiny little record label and we put some records out, and we always kind of point people to where the cheapest place is to get them, because we sell the records to the stores for exactly the same price. So whatever price they're selling it for, that's their profit. And Amazon will just put on crazy prices. So we always say, look, try and avoid Amazon if you can, because they just make their own. It's all algorithms.
It's just like my dad's book, you know, that I wrote 10 years ago, and it's still in print, Hellraiser. And because that's 60-40 from him and I, because I was a ghostwriter. And so like, I'm keeping it going. And recently the royalties came in. So I don't know, you get 12.5% now of the book when it's just in normal on Amazon. I sold 413 books. Do you know how much I got from that?
Go on, 28
50
pence.
50 quid.
50 quid. That's ridiculous.
And you just think, oh, thanks, guys. I need millions of people to buy it, please.
Listen, she's honest. I love the honesty. But that is ridiculous. And the high street's dead. That ain't never coming back, guys, I'm afraid. And everyone's going, yeah, but Amazon's so convenient. So, but people don't get, the people that are selling the stuff don't get the money.
No, exactly.
What's his name? Joe Bezos. Joe Bezos.
Okay, yeah.
Is it? I don't know. It's Joe Bezos gets all the money to fund his extravagant, multi-femaled lifestyle, and I think it's outrageous. So give us the name of the website. I've tweeted it.
Weimer, so it's Weimer, UK.
Okay.
And they've got all sorts of music books there, punk books, rock books and everything. And we've got another big Cream picture book. But you can get all our books in one place there as well. They've got them stocked.
Can I give you a little tip? Don't plug other bands' books.
Well, plug
yours and Cream's.
I didn't say who they were. Good. But I said they can go there and have a look.
Well done. More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter.
Yours is better.
Yeah, mine is much better.
We should say the shorthand is, of course, that you are the daughter of Ginger Baker.
Yeah.
Very, very naughty rock and roll star.
Wouldn't say that. He thinks he's very, very good.
And James Whale was in as you were coming in. He went, oh, yeah, I know Ginger Baker. Very good drummer. I think that's a slight understatement, to be honest. Very good drummer. When did you last speak to your dad?
Well, I know he's in hospital at the moment.
Oh, is he not well?
Yeah, no, he's not well at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't really have a lot talking to him because we have some sort of family issues going on at the moment.
That's you strike me as the kind of family that would have issues.
We have a lot, yes.
Having read your first book and half of the second book, I'm only halfway through this. Yeah, it's what's interesting about this one in particular. Well, I'm fuzzing a little bit. I don't know why. What's interesting? 0344 499 1000. By the way, if you want to just phone up for a chat, if you want to phone up and talk to Nettie, you're very, very welcome to. You'll answer anything?
Within reason.
Come on, mate. I've read your books.
Yes, okay.
And this is what I like about it, and you're going to speak to Alan Caddick in a minute. This is what I like about it, Ginger Baker's not really mentioned in it. There's a bit where, you've got to tell me off air, there's a drug addict whose dad is a famous television personality.
Oh, yeah.
Don't say it on air.
No, I won't.
But I want you to let me know off air.
Yeah.
And then one of your mates goes, sorry?
What are you doing the voice for, mate?
I've got the voices in my head.
Okay, all right.
He
doesn't sound like that.
What does he sound? Is he Irish? Well, you know, to be sure, one of the men...
He is Irish, but I don't think he's got an Irish accent.
Okay.
Well, neither is he. Whatever. Anyway, do it as you think.
Not in front of a guest.
Go on.
No.
How do you hear it in your head?
Not in front of a guest. That's humiliating.
Okay.
That's humiliating.
Just do it as you would do.
All right. Now you're both ganging up on me. Yeah. Right. So they're talking about this guy whose dad's famous, and we're going to find out who it is. And then someone goes, Seamus goes, yeah, well, you know, Nettie's dad. He's famous as well. Yeah. And that's one of the few references to Ginger in the entire book. And I love it. It's not a criticism. It's great. It is. It's a book about, I think it's sort of 23, 24, 25, and 20, 24, 25, 26, because it's your 26th birthdays in there. It's just the story of a young woman finding her identity in an ever-changing world and getting off with loads of lads.
Yes, right. Yeah, get in.
That's it.
Well, there's the eviction, which does touch on, you know, my dad and, you know, us getting thrown out of the house and the glory days before we lost it. So I think it's trying to say, you know, it went quite badly wrong for us, and this is what happened next.
It is. You become a proper punk in this.
I do.
Kath, have a look at the... I mean, when I say proper punk, there's a nude picture. look, proper punk.
Yeah, look at that with the undercut and everything.
And she looks so decent now. And that's the thing, though, because all the
I'm quite old now.
Well, I was going to say, but all the punks were all lovely and generally very softly spoken and quite shy and you know, but because they look so. You know, it's an aggressive look, a big pink Mohican and stuff.
Well, it sort of isn't really, though, is it? I mean, because, you know, you have to ponce about with a hairdryer and hairspray, and you've all got so much makeup on. I mean, I can't see how anyone really thought that was aggressive. And as I say in the book, we are getting attacked all the time.
There's a couple of bits
by all the nice casuals in their Pringle jumpers.
There's a couple of bits where people are getting kicked in. One of your mates gets kicked in, and you go, "Oi, stop it!" Which is great.
I did.
Well, not great. There's violence. Describe your technique for getting your mohawk.
It was. I mean, unbelievable. Well, you wash it, and first of all, you have to like comb it out, and then you get all the lumps of old hairspray on the comb, and then you have to put soap in it, and then dry it, and then you get the crimpers out, and then you hairspray it section by section and crimp it, and it's all smoking, and the crimpers are stuck with hairspray, and it's all spizzing, and then you just keep drying it with hairspray and setting it with a hairdryer on and on and on. It takes ages.
God, I've heard of people using, like, glue and sugar and all sorts.
We didn't use... people I knew, most of them didn't use... Some used sugar water, but we used soap, and we mainly used the biggest cans of hairspray.
I bet it's not gorgeous, but highly flammable.
We were. Well, in fact, twice in the book, I have my Mohican set on fire.
Oh, I've not got there yet.
There's a couple of incidents where that happened.
I got to ask now, let's just jump forward a bit. Are you courting? I'm not coming on to you, by the way. This is not the thing. But are you, because the whole themes of your book, you pick the wrong men. You pick the wrong men, men that treat you like dirt, men that treat you badly.
Well, there's an afterword there which sort of lets you know about a few little things that happened. One of my partners, basically, but they die a lot.
Oh,
one of my partners that worked out quite well that died, and he used to say to me, bloody hell, the menu picked, and then he said to me, I don't know what that says about me.
You pick...
I'm not very good at it.
You go for older men, you go for younger lads.
Younger,
you go for,
normally.
You go for...
Or younger these days.
Yes, you go for drunks.
Drunks,
and
yeah.
Druggies.
I do tend to
And people
to like,
that don't even like you.
Well, I do tend to go for people that are sort of a bit mentally unstable. I seem to like that. And I was out with someone not that long ago. I won't say who it is because he's quite a nice guy. But a friend of mine said to me, you do realise he's completely mad. And I was like, is it? I didn't know.
You don't spot it.
I don't. I make them feel sort of at home. You know, I prefer that. Yeah. I just like people like that.
Yeah. 0344 499 1000. We're going to take some calls in a minute. We've got Alan Caddick. We've got Rainbow George, who's going to ask you to pass on a song to your dad, no doubt. This is what, this is Rainbow George's modus operandi, is to get other people to do work for him. So that's going to be happening. We're talking to Nettie Baker, about her book, More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. I've just tweeted the link. We'll get a pen and paper because we'll give it out again just before 11 o'clock because it's not on Amazon yet because we want Nettie to earn a few quid out of it.
Yeah.
This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
New studios, Nettie. And there's a few technicals. There's like a little pause before the show kicks in. That's the computer out there, brand new $25 million studio, and it still doesn't work properly. But, I tell you what should work. If you put your headphones on, we are going to enter the murky world of Mr. Alan Caddick. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, boss.
Hello, Alan. Do you remember you spoke to Nettie before?
Briefly.
Yeah.
Well, for good reason, probably. But...
So, that's all right, mate. You still got to speak to her. I mentioned you to her when I saw you calling in. She went, oh, I remember him. Yeah. I spoke to him before. She said, briefly, thank God. So, Alan, now listen, by the way, people just want to phone in and chat about to the show normally, you're very welcome. 0344 499 1000.
We'll call you back.
Thank you, Alan.
True.
I kind of like the idea of our guests just being part of the show, and the show kind of carries on around them as well as we talk to them about their stuff. But also, if you've got a question for Nettie, if you want to ask about her dad, if you want to ask about her books, anything like that, 0344 499 1000. As Alan rightly said, we call you back. Alan, what would you like to say tonight?
Well, I won't talk about my mum because she's had some physio today.
Oh, okay, fantastic, right. Ever had physio?
We're making Nettie the background.
Shut up. Ever had physio, Nettie?
I have, yes.
Okay, well then we're in. We got a conversation. This is great. Okay, this is radio. Away you go, Alan.
Well, she's had the physio come in today because she's not been too well. As you know, Ian.
I do know, and I filled Nettie in all about it. I sent her a very long email last week telling her all about your mum's poorly condition.
Yeah, she's done very well today. She got up from her chair, got outside the front door, I walked up the path up to one of the neighbours.
There you go, that's success.
And did you retrieve her, or is she still there?
No, she came back to the house on her own.
Wow.
The long-term aim is to go from the house to the garage door.
Well, the longer-term aim should be to go from the house, go to Tesco's, get your tea, bring it back, and cook it for you, Alan.
Tesco's is all the way in Quinton.
Yeah, well, make her walk!
The nurse shop to us is Asda about now.
Forget Asda. Make her walk to Tesco. Get the good stuff. You deserve it, Alan.
Well, I've been using Asda for the last 10 years.
Okay, well, you've been doing the Asda. That sounds like a confession to Robert.
I've got one more thing.
Yes?
Can we test the dumb button?
No, we're not doing the dumb button. The dumb button is like... I tell you what we'll do, Alan. If you... Now, Nettie's dad was in a very famous band called Cream, amongst others, but the very famous band called Cream. If you can sing me a Cream song, I will press the dump button.
I don't know Cream, because I've never heard of them.
Oh, you have.
Oh, Nettie, I'm so sorry.
You're going to kick yourself, Alan.
I'm so sorry. You don't know, you don't know Badge? You don't know In the White Room?
No.
Well, okay, well, that's your chance to use the dump button. It's gone.
Well, I have to go on YouTube and have a look at their videos.
Go and have a look at their pop videos, and if you call back before 11 o'clock, we'll let you do one, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Alan. Bye-bye. There we go.
Fantastic. Oh, if you like that, we've got some treats coming up.
0344 499 1000. I just thought it'd be nice. I guess the show should kind of, you know. Yeah. We have to put up with them. So do you, if you want to sell your bloody book.
Fine with me.
This is really short period of time. It's like 2 or 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 2 years, really. Yeah, just over 2 years.
Well, how do you, I've asked you this before, how do you have it in such detail? Well, on the Thursday, we went to the Moscow Arms or whatever, and then we went, but that was boring, so we went to this other pub, and then there was, these three people were there, and then we went back to her house, Peg's house for a party, but then we got kicked out at 3 a.m, but I managed to snog this. The detail is
amazing. It sounds really tedious. No.
Well, here's the thing. Being young is tedious. Isn't being young boring?
Well, I wasn't really that young, though, was I?
I mean, the others around you, yes. Yeah. I know. No, it's obviously it's slightly better.
We're dating the young.
It's significantly better written than I may have just given you credit for. But the detail is incredible. Yeah. Diaries, I'm guessing.
It is, and you know, it's very close to them, actually.
Yeah.
When I you know, read the actual diaries, I'm like, oh, it's almost the same as, obviously, slightly edited, but, you know.
Have you got a big stack of diaries,
yes,
then?
Yeah.
And were you, because I tried with diaries. Would you ever keep a diary, Kath?
I used to, yeah.
How old?
12.
Oh. I thought it was good. You know.
I found it a couple of years ago.
They're funny, though, aren't they?
Hang on, why have you not brought it in?
I did bring it in. Did we read it out on Three Counties?
Oh, well, not yet. Who cares about that? Bring
pictures,
it here.
It had pictures as well of people doing faces. Like, she looked at me like,
It's when you can draw.
Bring it in, and I won't laugh at you, which is very noble of me, because when I brought in the songs I'd written as a 15, 16, 23-year-old man, I was mocked and laughed at.
He wrote one to Lucy Speed, you know, the actress Lucy Speed.
She played Natalie in EastEnders.
Oh, right, Baker's mum in Danny Baker's mum.
Yeah. All right, so
Lucy Speed, You're All I Need. It was one of my favourites.
Aww, that's really nice.
Thank you. Now, because she's a poet. She's a poet, and we recognise each other's talent.
We're
connected by our pineal glands.
We have.
She wouldn't laugh at an artist.
She would if she heard the rest of them.
Right. Next time you come in.
I laugh at some of my own, actually.
Next time you come in, I'm going to bring in some of my songs.
Yes, do. Maybe we can sing or something.
If there's any way of getting them to your dad, that would be awesome.
did you
have a lot of that, of saying, if there's any way of getting this to your dad?
We do on the fan page and stuff.
Really?
I mean, I haven't, at that time in my life, when I did a book reading the other night in town, and one gang member came along.
Oh, well, really?
And he was like, some of the others were going to come, they were away, but one of them turned up, was really pleased. And someone asked me that question, you know, what did they think of it, your dad being Ginger Baker? And he was like, the guy that, what's his name, just phoned in. Yeah. He said, I'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
In the 80s. He was right down.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I had such a good time with that scene, because we were all accepted for who we are. It was nothing to do with that.
There was a lot of that, the kind of a lot of the... I say your dad was on the fringe. I don't mean that in a rude way, but I just mean he wasn't like The Who and he wasn't the Beatles.
Well,
no,
he just dropped out completely.
A lot of them did,
you know,
didn't they?
That documentary about him shows. He went to Africa and then he just dropped off the radar, really. And then he tried to go to America and make it, but as his wife said, no one would work with him.
He's determined is the word. He's a determined guy. He gets his own way and he kicks off if he doesn't get his own way.
Well, I just think he thinks things are against him, or maybe he makes things against him. So I just think...
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's got a touch of the Asperger's or something.
Yeah.
You know, he's not aware of social situations or thinking things through. And, you know, having been a drug addict for a long term.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are all those issues going on all the time. And in the book as well, everyone's on drugs. So we were saying the other day, it's a sort of the whole mental health thing. Nobody even noticed in those days.
No, they didn't. Well, they didn't in those days. They didn't. And if he was at a low point in the 80s, I mean, there's a bit in the book where your mum sells one of his drum kits.
Yes,
auctions
that's right.
It, and you think, oh, what's this? And now,
what,
right,
without telling?
He'd given it to my brother, and then we had to sell it because we had no money. Yeah.
1985, it sells for $4,000.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is in today's money, because I'm suspecting that drum kit, I don't know, 250,000 quid, maybe, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I suppose that was, I guess, as well, like in the early days of rock memorabilia,
mid-80s.
It
went to the Hard Rock Cafe, I think, in Texas or somewhere, Arizona.
Okay, so people are going to get to see it while they're eating burgers in the middle of nowhere. Okay, yes. Important bit of history.
In a one-horse town.
But you do talk about money. The book starts off, the new one, More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. It starts off with you getting kicked out, you and your mum and your siblings getting kicked out of the house that you lived in. The mansion.
Yeah.
And it's, what it strikes me as odd is you lot sort
with
of
Lemmy son.
But you with Lemmy son. Yeah. But you don't seem to really take it seriously.
I know, like everybody says that. And I don't know, we didn't. Looking back on it now, I think that's quite a heavy thing to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Everybody said that to me. We just sort of carried on as though nothing was happening.
You got served notice.
Well, it was my mum. So it was nothing to do with, like, I was saying for us, we didn't have any idea what was going on in their financial life. You know, we're just children, really. Yeah. Although I was an adult then. But, you know, you don't know what's going on in someone else's financial things. So we didn't really realise how serious it was. And they tried to evict us the year before, which is in the first book. And we'd all just got back in again. And then, yeah, they came and we were out. But my mum never did anything about it. She just didn't do anything. But, you know, she had mental issues as well.
Yeah, you
being married to my dad can make them worse.
Well,
she was divorced by then.
They're both troubled people.
Very much
emotionally
so, yeah.
Troubled.
And it impacted badly on us, but what can you do?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You're very welcome to.
Let's go with the flow and put on the show, man.
There's a flow that's glowing. They're having a show in.
That's what we're doing.
There's a nice picture. A little bit of Suzzy going on there.
Yeah.
A little bit of Suzzy going on there. Is that, you had fun?
I had fun, yes.
But there feels like an element of aimlessness.
Yes, because there's sort of no direction really. I think that's a very much Thatcher time for the young of those days, was we didn't really have the direction.
Yeah.
You know, that no future thing, which I was earlier than that. But I definitely, we related to that. But
work is a four-letter word.
Yes, yeah. Well, still is, really. I'm not very good at earning money. Because I can only do rubbish jobs, like in a pub or in a shop. And then I get really pissed off with it after a while.
Yeah. So what
because of that sort of time, the times in the book where I should have been doing something, and you know, all these other things were happening to me, and it didn't happen.
Yeah. So. You've got a sister and a brother.
That's right.
Are you still getting on with them? Are they still around?
They're still around. My brother lives in America,
right?
And he's a drummer, so you can just find him, Kofi Baker,
right?
Everywhere, drumming. And my sister lives in Amsterdam.
And are you close with them? Do you get on? Because there's a distance in the book.
They're very close to each other because they're very close in age. So it's 13 months. But they sort of left the country. I think to every, you know, the stress of our parents meant that in their early 20s, they both left the country.
Right.
And really never saw anyone hardly ever again. I mean, I do see them more. I don't see my brother, but I, you know, have my sister a couple of times a year or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, they sort of buggered off, really.
Was your dad, because he's still around, was he aware of his talent? It goes either one or two ways. Was he an arrogant, you know, rock star that knew he was one of the best? Because he's one of the best drummers in the world. Or was he, did he always think, I can do better than that? I'm not quite where I want to be.
I think he knew. My early recollections, or you know, like in the earliest, when we first moved to the big house, you know, it was just like, yeah, I'm the greatest drummer in the world.
Wow. Okay.
And he said that a lot, and he got all the awards to prove it. Yeah. So, but he really did think that. Yes.
And would he look at like Keith Moon and John Bonham and go, nah.
I mean, the documentary shows that he was before them, and Stuart Copeland said they all looked up to him.
Yeah.
And everyone gets annoyed when he slags off John Bonham and that, but I mean, they were his mates. They used to go out drinking with him, and they were his friends. But they looked up to him, and he was the one that they followed. So, and they couldn't read music, and they couldn't compose, and they couldn't arrange. And that's the difference that people fail to understand.
Well, also, he wasn't a rock drummer. He was jazz. He was African.
Drummer, no.
He was everything.
It. Yeah.
He could do everything. Yeah. Just happened to be that. Even if
he
listened to Cream, it's not really rock.
Before there was rock, and he sort of invented that.
Yeah.
Which people say. I mean, I don't really care, but I mean, I'm just saying because I have to keep the legacy going, and that's what I do with all the social media, the website.
Yeah.
That's all me. Because it's important, the legacy for the future, I think.
Yeah.
And so then I have to know something about it. I don't really care.
Is it weird? I would find it weird. My dad's passed and we didn't really get on for a lot of his life. But I would find it weird that every interview I did was like, oh, it's a great book, but tell me about your dad. Or, you know, on Twitter, tell me about, can you get this message to your dad? Tell me, I would find it really weird and I'd find it confusing for my personality.
Well, you get used to it. If you're brought up with it.
Right.
From day one, from your earliest memory, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then obviously the books are a chance for me to show that I can, you know, hey, I'm the greatest in the world at my own thing.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know what I mean? So, you know, I wanted people to say, read it. And then they're saying, like, it is good. And I think, right, good. So I'm now able to go out and say to everyone, hello, 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 buy this. But it is good.
Yeah.
Not so because, you know, I just want to make some money, really. But, you know, but if you want to give someone something,
yeah.
It's got to entertain them. It's got to make them laugh. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to bore them to death.
It is good. I mean, you are a good writer. And you were telling me before that the new book, More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter, has had some good reviews already.
Yeah,
it's only just come out.
It has, yeah. It's been out a couple of weeks.
Right, okay.
So people are getting it now and yeah. reading it. And it's a quick read as well, so.
Oh, thank God for that. I hate those long books.
It's in big print, so you can read it easily.
I hate those long books. We'll have a quick break, then we'll come back. We've got Nettie Baker, her new book, More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. I'm going to retweet the link. And before 11, have a pen and paper, because we're going to give you the website to go to get it, because it's not on Amazon yet. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Late Night Conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Whoa! No! Don't
make
me. No! I've dumped it.
It wasn't on.
I've dumped it. No, excellent timing. Because you haven't
sworn
once. No. And it wasn't your fault. You didn't know we were going on. I should have warned you, but I thought we've had such a relaxed chat. She won't swear. And it's quite interesting what you're saying. Literally, as soon as that red light comes on, boom, goes an F-bomb. My fault. It didn't go out. Don't you worry. We're talking about the cover. That's what we were talking about. And it's a great picture of you in all your punk pomposity with the dog collared spike chain, the earrings, the amazing eyes, the two fingers up. And you were saying that there was a bit of upset about the cover from some quarters.
Well, no, because they very kindly, Universal always do a nice piece for me, Paul Sexton, and they put it on the Cream page. And I thought, oh, well, you know what the hippies are going to say about that. And they were like, oh, my God, she's as ugly as her dad.
Oh,
go and get your teeth fixed.
No.
And, you know, they went absolutely, they just, it's like, just read the thing before you call. But it's just like, did we do punk for a reason or what was the point of it?
Really? Yeah.
Hello, did you get it? Obviously, they don't because they're all in their 70s. And
also, I would have thought that there was... Pete Townsend got punk. He got it.
He acknowledged it.
Yes, I would have thought that there would have been, you know, between the Cream and punk, there's got to be some...
Well, no, because people asked me as well the other day, they said, what did your dad think? Well, obviously, in the book, it says I was absolutely horrified.
Yeah,
I thought
yeah.
it was terrible. But, of course, when he went to work in 1986 for John Lydon on the Pill album, he didn't tell us.
Right.
Because he knew we were punks. So he kept it quiet. I didn't find out for years.
Well, this is the bit where there's a bit in there where you say he's gone off somewhere, and so your sister has to go and look after the horses. You didn't know for years he was working on Rise.
No. Because he knew we were punk, so he didn't tell us on purpose. That's what that's done
that's,
for you.
That's cruel.
Yes.
That's a cruel trick.
And he also, it just shows him, I don't like them, I'll take the money.
Right, yeah, well...
I mean, he says that he never met John Lydon, but when we met John Lydon, and in John Lydon's book, he says they did meet.
Yeah.
And I know who I believe.
We've had John on the show, and I think he enjoyed it. He's great, because we didn't mention punk. We had to really kind of... It was the anniversary, maybe the 40th anniversary of punk. I don't know.
Yeah, he had a box set, didn't he?
And we really had to say to his PR, look, don't want to talk about the Pistols. Got no interest in them. I want to know what he does now. I want to know what John Lydon does now, living in LA. What is his life like? I said, we're not going to mention the P word. He... brought the Pistols up himself. Yeah. He said, "Well, when I was in the Pistols," he sounds like an old dame, but he's such a sweetheart, yeah. isn't he? And I was, I believe everything I see on TV. So I was terrified. We only had him on the phone. I was terrified.
Yeah,
I was terrified of Johnny Rotten. And he had him on the phone. He was like an old pantomime Dane. He's slightly camp. This old gruff voice. He was lovely.
Well, I mean, I've got him on the back of the picture.
It's a great picture.
When we met him last year, my daughter and I.
It's a great picture, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I knew because he's in the film. He's in the Beware of Mr. Baker film. Jay got him to sort of like introduce it. So I thought, well, that means he likes my dad. So if I meet him, he might be nice to me. And he said to me, "I'm scared of your dad."
There you
and
go.
I thought, this is my like hero. The two people that I've met in my life that have meant something to me, and the two most wonderful people I've met in my life are, you'll laugh.
Go on.
Elton John and John Lydon.
There you go.
Those are my two, like, the greatest in
my
book.
Have you seen Rocket Man yet?
Yes.
Is it good?
I like it, but that's another one that all the people that are in the entertainment industry have fainted because they're not in it, or they've done something wrong, or he's been nasty about his mother, or it's done like a musical.
Yeah.
And it's very much, you know, he's telling you, it's very emotional. Mm. I liked it and I'm such a fan. Elton can do no wrong in my eyes. I thought it was good.
Well, hang on a second. Elton can do no wrong. Sacrifice? That for me, that was wrong.
No, some later ones maybe I didn't like.
I think
you might even agree as well. But I mean, the early stuff, and with Bernie, Elton and Bernie, I mean, Bernie's
he's great. You can't knock him, right?
But it's very, you know, camp. And
we're going to go and see it. We need to go and see it next week.
I really want to go see it.
It's great.
Directed by Dexter Fletcher, who's coming on the show.
We love. I really liked it. I enjoyed it.
Good.
That
fills me with hope.
I have.
The music people aren't happy at all.
Screw those losers. And also Elton John, he don't care, does he? He don't care what they think. He's Elton John.
Well, I wasn't in it. It's like, and you know, I was always at Eric's house. I wasn't in his film. And my daughter said, we used to live near it. We were Elton John's neighbours, and they used to ride their horses past. And she said, well, I rode my pony going up the drive's not in the film.
I have. I'll tell you off air how, but I've met Elton John a couple of times. The first time, it was at Fate. And I was looking at the bouncy castle, and there was a bloke sat behind me on the bench, and I went, excuse me, mate, do you know who's doing the bouncy castle? It was Elton John sat there. And he just went, I've got no idea. It might be that fella over there. Chat with Elton John about a bouncy castle.
Well, there you go.
You don't get that. I've got a picture of
I had that when I was working for Ian McKellen at the Greats in Limehouse in 2016. And then he'd come in and talk to me about the chairs in the restaurant. I used to think, Gandalf's talking about chairs. It was really weird.
Ian McKellen. Because my 7-year-old is not so much now, but is really into George Ezra, you know, the singer.
Yes.
Ian McKellen's in a George Ezra video. He's very funny in the video. It's a really funny video, actually. And we were driving, the boys live in Windsor, and Ian McKellen's been doing a one-man show. And we drove past the theatre, and my 7-year-old went, oh, look, there's Sir Ian McKellen doing a show. I was going, what? How do you know about him? He's in a George Ezra video. And he knew about Sir Ian McKellen, and he loved him. He thought he was great. Can I go? I said, well, probably not going to be appropriate for a 7-year-old, but... he was thrilled to see Sir Ian McKellen. It's a funny old world. Last time you spoke to Eric Clapton, I have to ask. When was that? Give us dates, names, dates, telephone numbers.
God.
It's been a while.
I think it was at Jack Bruce's funeral.
Right. Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I went to his premiere of his film a couple of years ago, Life in 12 Bars. Yeah. But I got a freebie there because we'd helped with the film.
Right. I enjoyed that. It was good, that film.
Yeah, it was good. But I didn't actually speak to him then.
Right.
But I think Jack Bruce's funeral was the last time I actually spoke to him.
I'll tell you why Eric Clapton's in my head, because there's a brilliant bit where you talk about watching Live Aid.
Yeah.
Just talk about watching Live Aid. And it's a real kind of, so we were at such and such's house. It's almost throwaway, that such a big event. And
well, it was then for me, because I wasn't like, I mean, I know, like Patty Parfitt, who was with Rick Parfitt then, the Quo, and she was on stage and, dragged up there, and Ray were right in the middle of it. But I was like, and they talked to me as though I was. And I'm like, no, I was in like the cheap seats. I was a no one from nowhere's land on the dole then. Yeah. So I just saw it from on the TV.
And it's funny that because I remember in our house, I wasn't really interested in it. So it was 85. So I think I was 11. My sister was 14. So she was prime. So we watched it. Because my sister was, I was bored. I didn't want these old people. Of course, now, you know, some great performances, some terrible performances. Again, Pete Townsend, what was going on there? Keith Richards, is it Keith Richards and Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Flipping that, yeah. Man. But I love it. I love your just slightly dismissive, one of the biggest events in popular culture ever. Yeah, we watched this, and I went off to my mum's and watched the rest of it, yeah. And it's just a real nice throwaway. You were probably...
Seven.
Did you?
Maybe six.
All right.
God, I feel really old.
Working with kids, Nitty, it's just... So do you remember any of it?
I remember a bit. Or do I? I don't know whether I do remember it.
Or if it's just something that you've
kind of... Do you know what I mean? You see it on television so much. I think I remember it being on, but I don't know.
I was having to sit there, my sister having a blank tape to tape the bands that she wanted a videotape. Remember it starting? I remember Phil Collins flying from London.
Yeah, they were flying everywhere. I mean, it was a big thing and, you know, people sort of believed in it. But, I mean, I don't... Completely. It was mad.
Yeah, yeah.
But we, well, although we were punks, we were sort of, we engaged with some of it.
You were the resident hairstylist as well.
Well, I did do quite a bit of hairstyling for people. I still do.
Do you still do it?
I do.
You're not still doing the shaving?
No, but I do dye my daughter's hair for her, yes.
There's a great picture. Oh, it's your daughter on the back.
Yes.
How old is she?
She's going to be 27 at the end of this month now. Yeah.
What's she up to? Is she having fun? She's not, does she read this and go, oh, mum, geez. Please don't put that out.
No, she likes it.
Does she?
Yeah.
I bet it's a great thing to have.
What, cool mum, yeah.
No, well, I don't know, and neither do your kids.
I do, my mum is cool.
Just to have... My mum's not very well, her memory's terrible. I would love to have this much detail about what my mum did. All the lovely bits, all the embarrassing bits, all the mucky bits. I'd love it. And I'm thinking of making a little film with my mum, but most of that stuff is lost. It's gone now. No one will ever know it. And so this must be a treasure.
She knew some of it, but I mean, you know, we are like mates anyway, so we do discuss that sort of thing quite a lot.
Good. The book is More Tales of a Rockstar's Daughter. Now, you can't get it on Amazon yet, so I'm going to give you the website. I've got the website here in front of me. So it's www. I don't need to say that. We're saying that for granddad. Weimer, UK. WYMERUK.co.UK. WYMERUK.co.UK. I've tweeted it a couple of times. I will tweet it a few more times. So what are you doing next? This is great. Because you're doing 2 years at a time now. You can get another, like, 30 books out of this.
Now.
Is this done? You finished?
Yeah, I can't go on with it because...
Then it gets really dirty.
Things go... No, it's things just like people would get divorced and lots of people wouldn't speak to me. Wouldn't work.
Let's give it 20 years.
Yeah, well, perhaps when everyone's... Yeah. And a lot of people in that book have died, I sort of wrote it really for a... So to keep their memories alive in a lot of
to the ones that are alive, you say someone from the gang turned up at an event the other day.
Yeah.
Have the others, are they cool with it? Because you mentioned in the book that there's one person who got annoyed with you because you wrote a piece about them graffitiing.
Yes, I don't know. He's sort of an entrepreneur that's sort of off around the world somewhere and they've tried to contact him. But, I mean, I think he would be fine about it now. That was earlier.
But he told you off because you'd written a piece in a local paper.
He didn't tell me off, but he apparently thought it might upset his mother or something.
That he was a graffiti artist. And she named him and got all embarrassed.
But then again, I don't want my parents knowing I used to smoke.
No.
I'm 42 nearly.
They don't listen to this.
they certainly don't. So, but everyone else is cool with it. Have people got in touch that you've not spoken to for a long time?
With the first book, I had a couple of people. Yeah. And then with this book, many of them I know. A lot of people have read some of it earlier. Some of the people in it knew and were like, yeah, publish it, put it.
Yeah.
And then there are a couple of people that I don't like that I've sort of tried to distance myself from them because they know and they're just, well, I just don't like them. And we all agreed we didn't like them. So I'm just said I didn't like them. I mean, you know, if you don't like someone.
Exactly.
And they try and be a friend. And I just thought, I've never liked you. Yeah. So there are a couple of people in here who I think might think, oh dear. But most people hide. like with their first book, all the hippies have hidden. I know right. them. They haven't like blocked me on Facebook or anything, but they haven't said anything. They've said nothing. And that, like from the first book, the Bell, he has sort of said something, but he's never said I'm sorry or said anything about it. Dennis has never ever, all the people that know him, I think that because he's Saint Dennis that obviously I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
But they haven't said, they've all, and then in this book there are people I've said, you're in it. Like, it's often their girlfriends have like barred them from saying. I think their girlfriends have said, that's it, you're not speaking to that woman. I don't know, but basically they haven't. A lot of people are happy and think it's great, and they started crying. And also, someone that committed suicide, her sister, was really pleased, saying, "You know, it's fantastic you've written
that's
about
nice.
Her." And other people that have died, people from the first book, someone's husband died, and she said, he often talked about that, and it was really important to him. Thank you so much for putting it in. So,
that's good.
In the main, it's been pretty nice.
You should do a podcast.
A lot of people have been saying that
you
lately.
Should do a podcast. Because I could listen to you for... You're coming in again, but even if you've not got another book, you're welcome anytime.
Well,
I love just hanging out with you because you're very glamorous. And also, I could just listen to you for ages. Come in one night and just... We won't mention Dad. We won't... We just come in and help do the show one night. But you should do a podcast because I would listen to that.
Yeah, it'd be brilliant.
I would listen to that.
Yeah, people have been saying that sort of thing a lot to me recently, but... Because I do a lot... I'm doing a lot of radio and stuff like
right.
that. Yeah. So.
If you ever want any help with a podcast... We'll come and do it for you. Free. We'll help you
Thank
out for
you.
Free because we think you're fab. Let's get this. Let's go and buy now, guys, because we're going to do the news. Nettie Baker, more tales of a rock star's daughter. If you go to Weimer UK, WYMERUK.co.UK, it's the only place you can get it from. I'm going to retweet it another time so you can get it. So lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you.
Best
as well. Thank
of luck.
You.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
We've got another 2 hours. I felt like I was coming to the end of the show. We've got another 2 hours of this rubbish.
You're going nowhere.
This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
0344 499 1000. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle and Ray with his story. Horny story time.
It's not horny.
It will be in my head. Away you go.
Oh, no, trust me, it won't be.
Just make something up, Ray.
You've got to take into account the fact that I hadn't had a drink for 4 months.
Okay. You pissed the bed.
Oh God, it's worse than that.
Shit the bed.
So I started drinking yesterday at 3 PM.
Tough guy, huh? Yeah. Okay.
And we're in the pub till midnight. So 9 hours of drinking Heineken.
Heineken.
Well.
Oh wow.
Gosh,
classy. Okay, right. Heineken. Yes. Okay, I see. I understand.
Well, you've got to remember, they're all police officers. They're not classy. One little bit. No.
Yep.
So I managed to get myself home, but by the time I came through my front door. It was nearing 1 o'clock, and I sat down on the sofa and then just crashed out, fell asleep. And then I had this lovely dream that was quite warm. And so I woke up thinking, what's that stuff underneath me? And I realised that I was weeing on the sofa. So I got up thinking, you idiot, what kind of idiot are you? I'm 50 years of age.
What kind of idiot would do such a thing like that, Raymond?
So it gets worse.
Yeah.
So I managed to go into the living room and went into the corner of the living room to where the toilet is. Well, I haven't got a toilet in the living room. And then I continued to wee over the radiator. Then came to my senses again and thought, right, you've lost the plot. So then I went into the kitchen, opened the grill and carried on weeing into the grill. From there, I've got a downstairs bathroom because I live in a Victorian cottage.
Please tell me you did a dump in the washing machine.
No. So then I went into the bathroom, saw the toilet, but thought, well, obviously I'm not going to use the toilet now, and I carried on and finished my wee in the bath.
That's fine. The bath is fine. We've all done that.
It gets worse.
Oh.
It gets worse. And then I suddenly realised that I needed a number two.
Oh, no!
Yeah. There we go.
So I stripped naked,
ooh,
and to my left was the toilet, But I decided to, for whatever reason...
Why is he... Hey, just stop there, just stop there for a second, Ray.
Why is he telling us this?
Why is he telling us this? This is horrible. I don't want to know this. All right, let's carry on.
Morning.
Oh, here you go.
So back to this is, you know, so this time I'm in the bath. So I decide to climb in the bath, squat down, and I poo in the bath. I'm very drunk, obviously.
Thank you so much for your call, Ray. But is there any more to this horrific...
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes. So then...
You ate it.
made a sandwich.
But then didn't bother to wipe and just went straight to bed.
Oh, no.
Went to bed. God. And woke up this morning about
maturing shroud.
there was no damage in the bed.
Is the Turing shroud named after Alan Turing? Is that where it comes from?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Go on, Ray. Sorry. Thank you.
Well, I wondered because I always sleep in boxes. So initially, I was thinking,
you sleep in boxes. Don't sleep in a box. Sure. Try a bed.
So I think I need a wee. So I walk down the stairs, and as I get to the bottom of the stairs, I'm thinking, why does my whole house think of wee? And then I'm suddenly thinking, that dream wasn't a dream. Anyway, yeah, so I go into my bathroom.
Oh, God.
And then there's just, the smell is unbelievable. I just can't believe it. Pull back the shower curtain, and it's just there in the middle of the...
Oh, okay. I really want to cut you off. I really want to cut you off.
You must look like the Pete Bogman this morning. No moisture at all in your body.
But do you know what happened then?
Oh, God, I've got a rough guess.
Please don't tell me you spaffed in the toothpaste tube. Don't tell me that happened.
After about half an hour, I found it so funny, I put it on Facebook.
Go away, you're a horrible man.
And then you rang the radio.
It's disgusting, disgusting. This is why we've got Brexit, this is why we've got Trump over here. We're celebrating heroes. 75th anniversary of one of the most, the eve of one of the most heroic events ever. This is what we've evolved into.
Pervert.
Ray. We've evolved into Pervy Ray. Incredible. That's not what, well, I mean, technically it is what they fought for, the freedom.
He was too free, if anything.
We need to rein in some of those freedoms. 03444991000 is the telephone number. Let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening, Ian.
Hey, it's Paul, Rhythmic Paul. No, it's not Paul, it's Paul Innocent.
Yes.
That'll do.
Paul, what can we do for you?
So I just wanted to say something to you.
No, it's not. Who is this?
No, it's different Paul.
It sounded like Rhythmic Paul. Then it sounded like Paul Innocent. Now it just sounds
like... It's other Paul.
It's other Paul.
No, I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, you are, my friend. Welcome.
Welcome, Paul. What can we do for you? We're sorry for confusing with those two losers.
That's fine. I wanted to know what you make of this, right? Because I think you're the perfect example of this.
Oh, God. You ready? Here we go.
So, you might be a king, Ian.
Here we go. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for the punch to the guts.
You might be a king or a little street sweeper.
Yeah.
But sooner or later, you're going to dance with the Reaper.
Yeah.
Is that a threat?
What is that? I know that song. I know that song. Don't tell me. I know. Do it again.
You might be a king or a little sweet.
I know what that
is. Sooner or later, you're going to dance with the
Reaper. I know what that is. Do you know what it is, Catherine? You think about it. You know it. That's a great line, Paul. Thank you. I'd stay there. That's a great line.
Is it to do with one of the Goss Boys?
No. It's a great line.
Because he did write a song, didn't he, about kings?
Yeah, he did.
And it was about how grateful he was that he wasn't sweeping the road, but those guys are kings.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a king.
Oh, that is a...
Is it, Club Tropicana drinks are free.
No, I tell you,
Wham Rap. Is it the Wham Rap?
It's not the Wham Rap. It is a very famous rap. Shall I play it to you?
Yeah.
Okay, this is it. Our bass player, the Duke of Smooth, the Doctor Shock, man with no tan. Please say hello to Death himself, the Grim Reaper. But sooner or later, you dance with the Reaper. Yeah, Paul, it's from Bill and Ted's.
Oh,
he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mate, are you excited about Bill and Ted 3?
Very excited.
Can we go and see it? Where do you live?
I live in the Midlands.
Right, let's go and see it together.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03444991000 is the phone number. I tell you what, the show is getting classier and classier and classier. If Ray's call doesn't win us an award, Catherine, I have got no idea. No idea what will. There's lots to talk about. I want to talk about Pride Month, bin bag kids.
Oh, yeah, I saw about the
pride.
Bin bag thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. We'll do the bin bags in a minute. Let's go to Nigel.
Good morning.
No.
Good evening.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go.
But I thought I was ringing GMTV, didn't I?
I
thought I was ringing GMTV.
GMTV?
GMTV? What? You thought you were ringing?
Yeah, you know, because you was always on it, you know.
I've never been on GMTV.
In the morning. No, you know, Good Morning Britain.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't been on that since September of last year.
I know, but it's loads of it on YouTube of your recordings. Whoa. I've been looking at them. There's so many.
Yes.
You did on the TV.
Yes, exactly.
And you actually took over the show in the morning as well.
I owned the show, Nigel. I made that show.
So you haven't done any recently at all?
No. Here's what I've decided about Good Morning Britain. I've decided I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it anymore until they ask me to do it again. And then I'll do it. But until they ask me to do it again, Nigel, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it.
Keep them waiting. Make them laugh.
Hang on.
I've just had a message through saying there was no driver available. Let me just go and make sure that Nettie's all right.
Whoa. What the heck? Okay, you go and sort that out.
Did you get on well with Kate Galloway?
Yes, I did go very well with Kate Galloway. I like Kate Galloway a lot.
I mentioned to you before that I met her with Mike Devons once, and they were cycling over Headcorn Way.
Okay,
I was cycling with him for a while.
Yes.
And she had her hair all tied up with a hat on, of course, you know, couldn't see her long hair.
Yes.
But that was like 15 years ago now.
Okay, wow.
So that was quite an experience for me. She's a lovely girl. She was a girl then. She's a woman.
She is a grown woman now. Next time I see her, boy, oh boy, I'm going to tell her the story that you just kind of half told me, but that I couldn't really understand.
Yesterday I went to the TV studios, Meridian in Maidstone.
Meridian.
And there's a show, they were recording a show that, Catchphrase.
Oh, yes.
And there's, obviously, all the people that used to do it years ago, some of them have died, haven't they? The black comedian with the white hair.
I don't think a black...
He was in The Comedians years ago.
Charlie Williams. Charlie Williams. Yes, he's dead. He didn't do Catchphrase, did he?
Yes, he did. He did, yeah. Monkhouse as well.
Right.
Dear old Bob Monkhouse.
Yes, okay. Well, there's
so many people did it. There was that tall fellow with a beard that was in that show that got, like, a... Do you know the man I mean that was about six foot three with a beard? It's you, it's not you.
I've got literally no idea what you're talking about now.
Well, no, I can't remember the show, it was in years ago, but he did it as well. So many people did Catchphrase.
Yes.
Anyway, so they were recording that there while I was talking to the producers. They're going to call me back. I'm trying to get on TV to maybe sing a song or talk about my music career with the old band, the dance bands and things.
Yeah.
So that would be good if I can. I mean, they can only say no, can't they?
It doesn't really matter
if I say yes or no, but it's only down the road for me. It's only 6 miles to cycle.
This is how I choose my jobs, is by how far that, far away from me they are. That's how I like to do these things. All right, Nigel. Well,
I want to rung up to do a song in a minute.
Maybe not tonight.
Maybe
Friday. Why don't you save it for Friday? Save it for Friday, because Friday's party night. Okay. All right. Well, listen, give us a call Friday and we'll do the song then.
I've got a Wonder Woman. Not Wonder Woman. What's the girl's name?
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. I've got a doll I bought Christmas. They brought out a special moving parts doll.
Okay, well, and, that's weird.
It's a proper realistic thing from the film. It was about £19, very expensive. It's about... But I can't get into that properly.
No, anyway. Okay. All right, this is...
So that's a good thing.
That's a good
Wonder
thing.
Wonder Woman.
Okay, all right, Nigel. Well, thank you for that.
I'll speak to you Friday, then.
Tutty bye. Tutty bye. I struggle to follow the thread there, but it's always, always good to hear from Nigel. Is Nettie all right?
Well, they cancelled on her.
Oh.
When I left her, it said the cab was arriving.
The scumbags.
Next time I'm going to stand with her. Yeah, so she's getting on train. She's already on the train station.
No.
I said, oh, come back, I'll get you another one. She said, oh, I'm already, I've buzzed
through.
Oh, she's cool, she's
no,
very cool.
That's okay, well, we know that for a few, that's a crappy way to treat our guests.
Well.
Cabs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
what
yeah.
happened next time, I'll make sure she gets
yes,
it.
Mate. Oh, well, that's a shame. All right, yeah. That's a shame. What have you got for us,
well,
Catherine?
This thing about the vacuum challenge.
Oh, yeah, go
that
on.
I hadn't seen, because yeah. I've not really been on social media an awful lot recently. Experts warn bizarre viral vacuum challenge that sees people sealing their children in bin bags could cause death by strangulation. Yeah, of course.
So you sit in a bin bag and then you get sucked off. The air gets sucked out of the bag.
They seal themselves in bin bags by sucking out the air with the vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
However, experts are concerned that many of the videos posted online feature adults vacuum sealing their children sitting in bin bags with their heads poking out.
Okay.
Despite the hilarious videos on it,
I'd like to try it on me. I'd like to do it on me.
I'll stick the tube in if you want.
I would like to do that, actually, yeah.
Okay. Yahoo News reports it could
Great
be a lead
agency.
To cerebral hypoxia caused by strangulation as the bag tightens around the neck. Well, there is that.
You don't hear people calling some things poxy anymore. That poxy cat. That poxy car. Oh, it looks good, doesn't it? Oh, it does look good. There's a kid, I'm not saying do it, but it looks good.
Let's find out more. Yeah. There's just loads of pictures now that they've nicked off Twitter. A vacuum bed is a frame containing a latex suit which covers the entire head and body, which
yes.
participants climb into. Air is then removed using a suction pump or vacuum while the person inside breathes... What?
Sorry?
Breathes through a tube running into the mouth. Well, that's something different, right?
That's if you're putting your whole body in there, surely.
God. The challenge, which has been tried by social media users from across the globe, sees participants sitting or lying on the floor inside a bin bag, which often reaches up to the neck. The nose of a vacuum is then inserted into the neck of the bag, sucking out all the air and sealing the participant inside. But, yeah, don't put yourself in a plastic bag and
well,
cut off your air supply. Good
no,
top tip.
But also, even if your head is out, you'd suffocate.
Because of your paws?
No, that's Goldfinger. It would constrict your chest. Your chest would be constricted. You wouldn't be able to breathe. You'd suffocate.
Yeah.
You'd literally drown of your own saliva. I had to go to the dentist recently. And you know when they're sucking your juice, your saliva out of your mouth?
Yeah.
It's like being waterboarded, isn't it?
That's
what
I think. They don't do it, yeah.
They don't do it. That's waterboarding. That's so a torture has been invented by someone who went to a slack dentist.
Obviously, that's exactly what's happened.
Mike, you're going to be next. 0344. Sorry?
No.
Have you finished?
I think so.
You did an intake of breath to imply you hadn't.
Yeah, only because it's just...
Okay, so...
Yeah.
Right. 0344 499 1000. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
It's chugging along at a fair old rate this evening. We're here every Monday to Friday, 10 till 1. There are 2 tickets left for our London show on the 23rd of June. 2 tickets left, and we won't be releasing any more. Because mm-hmm. That is it. That is then at capacity. That's in 100 people. So 2 tickets left. And we've sold 31 tickets for Dorset in July.
All right.
Of 158. But that's still better. We're into making... We'll probably make more money with those 31 tickets than we did with the show we did in Glasgow. Wow. So that's a bonus. If you want tickets for either of those shows, London, the last 2 tickets for London, 23rd of June, Dorset, the Shaftesbury Arts Centre, it's a lunchtime show on Saturday, the 6th of July, or tickets for our show in Belfast, which is early July, I think, or Bath,
which is in September. And these are the last four shows we're going to have booked in for a while. We're not doing any more shows until the autumn. And Belfast is going ahead. Go to ianlee.com/event. ianlee.com/event. And you can get those tickets. Let's go to Mike. Good evening, Mike.
Hello.
Hello,
are
Mike.
You both well?
Yeah. No, my stomach is playing up like nobody's business. I can't. I can't shake this thing, whatever it is. Of course. Now, here's the thing. If I'm ill for longer than 3 or 4 days, I think, oh, I've got cancer. And I'm not making light of it. Genuinely, my head goes, maybe it's cancer. So, it's probably not. I don't think cancer would necessarily be giving you stomach gurgles and making you poo a lot. But I'm thinking I've got cancer. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird. I just can't shake this bug, whatever it is. Anyway, Mike, what have you got for us tonight, please?
Well, inspired by your streams, I built up a small collection of retro game consoles the past 3 weeks, which I've now put on a lovely new shelving unit in my living room.
Beautiful. Well done. You should be proud of yourself.
So, I am. I've got about 50 games to play. I've not even turned the PlayStation on yet.
Yeah.
I thought, if you wanted to, it's a really rubbish game where if I could let you listen to the sound of the console opening and shutting, you could tell me what console it is.
Away you go. I've got three
to do it.
Away you go. Do it.
Okay. Number one. Hopefully this works. I'm wearing a headset. I'm going to put the headset down.
Headset. Scumbags.
That was console one. What I think is I'll go through all three.
No, just do one.
Okay, so console one.
So that is number one. So that is, it's a flip-top open. Right, now.
Yeah.
That takes us to one of four I can think of. We got the PS1. We've got the Dreamcast. We've got the Sega Saturn. We've got the GameCube. Now, when I heard that distinctive click, my initial thought was GameCube, but Nintendo, they're really good at, there wouldn't be a big click with a GameCube. So, I'm going, is Dreamcast or Saturn? I'm going Dreamcast.
It's the Dreamcast!
Yes, mate! Yes, mate! Yes, mate!
Careful.
Sorry. Yes, mate! This is insane! Get me on, you bet. Number two.
Oh.
It's another...
The opening and shutting.
Okay. Am I missing one that has a flip-top open? Dreamcast. It's not another... You're not going to be cheeky and doing... You're not doing another Dreamcast. It's from the same era, so it has to be a Sega Saturn.
Oh, I'm afraid that's incorrect. It's a GameCube.
No, it is not, man. You've been sold a pop. That is a... Nintendo would never allow such a noisy action.
I haven't got a Saturn, so I can't do a Saturn. I like a Saturn.
All right. Well, it's 50, one out of two. Let's see if we can get two out of three. Here we go.
Oh, that's a sweet action.
That's your PS1, mate.
Oh, easy.
Yes! 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 Yes, mate!
Well done.
Yes, mate! This is the proudest moment. And there was no question about that.
All those years of gaming have led to this moment.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. You've made me so happy. Thank you.
I'm going to go now, but love you all. Bye.
Thank you. I love you. Are you proud of me, Catherine?
I am, strangely, yeah. Finally, it's paid off.
I haven't opened the GameCube for years. That's why I should have opened one and checked. Should have known.
You weren't to know this was going to happen.
No. I'm not watching Love Island.
No.
I'm done with it. I think, I like looking at boobs and bums and buff guys, but I'm done with it. After that lad took his life, was it Mike?
Yeah, Mike Palacitis.
After he took his own life. And there was a young woman as well who took her life a little earlier. And with the whole Jeremy Kyle thing, you know what? I'm done. And there's nothing I can do to stop the trade in those shows, but I can certainly stop watching them. I can certainly stop watching them and celebrating them. I mean, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. One of them was going to get kicked out. For doing blackface, but I'm glad he hasn't been kicked out for doing blackface.
I don't know about that one.
One of them, the Scottish lad, I think. Anton?
What, he done it in the past or and put it online?
No, he did it on the, as he walked in, doing all that.
No, I mean...
Yeah, he done it in the past, yeah. I've done blackface. When I say I've done blackface, I'm thinking back to when I was 17. I was in a local amateur dramatics production of Much Ado About Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And they did that thing they always do. They set it in the Raj. And all I had was basically one of the props. I didn't even have a line, I don't think. I think I was genuinely holding a spear at one point. And then I had to be an Indian lad taking something off. And it wasn't, you know, full blackface, but I browned up.
Mm.
I browned up. This was 30 years ago. It was 30 years ago. And it's unacceptable, you know, and I look back at that with kind of horror. Not with horror, actually. I look back with embarrassment. With embarrassment. I'm not horrified by it. It's embarrassing. Would I do it now? Of course I wouldn't do it now. Embarrassment. And this lad, I didn't see the picture, I didn't see the picture, so I don't know. But apparently did it within the last few years.
Right.
I wouldn't put him off a TV show for that.
He's a kid.
Yeah, it seems a bit...
We're allowed to learn and change, right?
No.
That's kind of the point.
No.
Are we supposed to come out perfect?
We're not allowed to learn and change anymore. That's the problem with these kids now, is everything is stored online. Everyone's got a Twitter account, a Facebook page. Everyone's got... I remember when we were at college and someone took a picture... Someone got some pictures developed of a party and there's a picture of me skinning up. I said, right, give me that. And I ripped it up.
Yeah.
And I got the negative and I ripped it. You're not having that. What are you thinking taking that picture for? You're not having that. Ripped up the negative. That's that gone. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
But now everything is online and is there forever. I delete all my tweets all the time. And some people go, oh, you delete your tweets. What are you hiding? Nothing. Just like having a tidy timeline. And once I did it the first time and got rid of 70,000 tweets, and that was quite a pull. There's no pull anymore. There's no pull. I'm glad I got rid of them. There's probably stuff I tweeted that I wouldn't stand by now. But also, they're still out there. If you want to find them,
exactly.
There are ways to go and find them.
Journalists know how to get them.
Of course they do. There are ways to go and find them. Everything.
It does surprise me, though, when people go onto these programs and they haven't been advised to tidy up their online.
Well, because they're advised to tidy up their bushes.
Well, exactly. They do that.
Very, very tidy.
Tidy workspace.
Nicky Nacky News.
You have to, though, those costumes. Flipping heck. You can't do swimming in
that. Well, that streaker. Yeah. It was actually between her labia.
Yeah. That can't be comfortable, can it?
That cannot be at all. But I worry about everything is online. Everything is there forever. And also, language and what is acceptable evolves.
Yeah.
So if a kid now tweets something, and I can't think of any examples, and I'm not going to give any examples. All right. In the 11 o'clock show, TV show I did 20 years ago, 21 years ago, we would say to someone, I probably did stuff, or out in the streets going, oh, you're gay,
mm.
Right? Not particularly acceptable even then. It was offensive even then, but it was kind of cheeky offensive. There was a lot in the late 90s, oh, you're so gay. Oh, you're such a gay lord. There was a lot of that.
But that was the thing, right?
Yeah.
Back then, it was gross out humour.
Yeah.
Talking American Pie, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The unspeakable was being said.
Yeah, it was that.
And it was, I dare you to be offended.
But if someone had tweeted an equivalent of that now, and then in 3 years' time, you know, you go around, we had a guest in it, and I went, oh, you're such a gay lord, there would rightfully be an uproar.
Yeah.
So if I tweeted something similar to that now, and then 3, 4, 5 years later, the focus, the things just shift a couple of degrees, as they constantly do. Constantly shift a couple of degrees so that things that were acceptable are no longer acceptable. Although I think we're kind of possibly in the danger of going back the other way, in that we've gone back a little bit in the other way, in that people feel they can be more openly racist than we've been able to for the last 25 years.
I'm just being real, mate.
Yeah.
I'm just being real.
Exactly. Then that's your career over. Particularly if you're in broadcasting, or I mean, God, if a newspaper, the Sun, I was going to say, but if a newspaper were to sift through every episode of the 11 o'clock show, you'd find stuff that would.
Of course you would.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous. And you go, you know, footage has surfaced of Ian Lee being homophobic. Then there's a whole campaign to get rid of me.
Here's what concerns me as well, is that we're bringing up our kids for the majority of people, we're bringing up our kids to be more open and talk to us more openly than we did in the past. And that is great, and that's progress, right? And to be, to embrace their feelings and to talk about them. I also think that the way some people behave online, people who are in the limelight and are encouraged to behave online, you know, beef, spats, all this kind of stuff, means that kids look at that and go, right, I'm feeling this feeling now. I'm going to put it out there now because I'm being real, right? That stuff's going to come and bite them. That stuff is going to come and bite them. I was talking earlier on about the diary I had from when I was a kid.
Oh, yes.
There's stuff in there, a load of old crap. You know,
this is where yo, we're wow.
We had a big fight. And I said, I wrote in my, you write in your diary stuff to make yourself feel better, right? You're the hero of your own story. And you're probably quite horrible about people because no one's ever going to read it, right? People aren't writing them in their diaries anymore. They're sticking it online.
I'm learning to not tweet when I'm angry. It's the thing I've kind of come to this week. I need to stop tweeting when I'm angry because I always instantly go, 5, 10, 15 minutes later, going, ah, shit. Let's delete that. That's not a good
look. It feels good the moment you do it. And then as soon as you've pressed send, you start to come down.
I don't know. Twitter's, I know we talk about this a lot, and I'm more comfortable around Twitter than I was 6 months ago. And it's great for selling this show. It's great for telling you what guests we got. It's great for having a guest like Nettie on and saying, oh, by the way, this is where you can buy the book. Great for plugging the live shows that we do, but it's.
But also, you get conned into thinking that Twitter is the world, right? It isn't. Most people aren't on it. Those guys I spoke to yesterday when I went on my motorbike training. Love you. Would love this show. Don't have Twitter. Didn't have a clue about it.
It's like my mum's not on Twitter, and why would she be? Why would she?
Yeah, they laughed at me. I said, "Are you on Twitter?" Because I said, "Oh, I'll mention the school." No, we're not on Twitter. Don't be daft.
It's a funny old world. It's a funny old world.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already. Excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Whoa! This is the minds are being blown.
One mind
is being blown. Late Night Alternative, Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle.
Yes.
And trying to do a new thing. I think to get more listeners, we've got hardly any listeners, Katie.
I find that hard to believe.
You need to lift that up and talk really close to it.
Okay, like this.
There we go. You don't have to hold it, though.
I know. There I just go. Like to cradle it.
We thought what we do is we do a new feature where guests who are coming on the show, they come in 1 week before they're coming on, to kind of tease up their main interview a week later.
It's like a pre-drink.
Yeah. So you're going to be on the show next week.
Totally.
Talking about stuff that we can't talk about tonight.
There's an embargo.
It's verboten. Yeah. It's unbongo, so we can't talk about it, which is exciting. What happens, I'm not going to, but what happens if you break an embargo? I mean, what's the forfeit?
I think you're on a blacklist and you can't play with the other kids.
Wow.
Yeah. And they never tell you any secrets ever
again. We don't want to be on Katie Puckrick's blacklist. Yeah. That would be horrendous. But most of the embargoed stuff, yours isn't. Yours is exciting. Yours is good. Yeah. But most of the embargoed stuff is rubbish. It's like, it cannot be announced until midnight. A survey has found that some people like Prince Charles.
Or it's Donut Day.
Donut Day. Do not announce until midnight. Who cares?
Well, there could be a rush on donuts. I think that there is a reason for
a Russian donut.
A rush on. Oh, Russian donuts. Yeah, that too.
We were talking there about the Beach Boys. That was the Beach Boys I played, and I played that for a reason. Does anybody know? First of all, it's my favourite Beach Boys song. The first time I interviewed Brian Wilson, Brian Wilson said, oh, what's your favourite Beach Boys song? And I said,
God, he's like quizzing you so that if you're going to pass muster.
Yes, and so I said, oh, it's Marcella. Really? You like that? I mean, it made him sound like Scooby there. Really? Really?
Well, you know, he wasn't involved. That wasn't really one of his, was it? He was like in the sandbox.
He wrote that
crying.
Song, though. He wrote it.
Yeah.
He wrote it. It's about a nurse that used to give him blowjobs. Apparently. Oh. So, and he said, really? You like that? Really? You like that song? I was doing a good Brian the other week. I can't do it. Really, you like that song? And then he started singing it to me.
Oh, nice.
He sang it. He sang Marcella to me. But you were saying that's also one of Elton John's favourites.
Yeah, Elton loves the album that it's from. What's the name of that album?
Carl and the Passions, So Tough.
Oh, right. So he wrote the sleeve notes for it.
Really?
And yeah.
Okay.
But not, I don't think the sleeve notes for the original release of it, but when it came out on CD and they repackaged them. And he, Elton, says that that is his favorite Beach Boys album.
It's a weird one.
And well, the funny thing is when you listen to the harmonies and the way some of that material kind of chugs along, you can hear that in Elton's mid-70s work.
Yeah.
In, especially some of his kind of throwback rock and roll things that are on Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of...
It's a strange album.
Yeah, kind of late-era Beach Boys in mid-era Elton John.
There you go, you see. That's what we call rock maths. I've always thought that... Now, let me get the formula for this right. Sparks divided by Bare Naked Ladies equals They Might Be Giants.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
It's rock maths. It does work. There's a formula there.
Yeah, but that... All those bands that you just mentioned just gave me indigestion when you said them all together. Too much band.
What a bill.
Too much quirk.
Yeah, there's a lot of quirk.
And too much whimsy.
There's a lot of bounce as well going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of bounce.
Brian Wilson's quit touring.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, but actually...
No, well, I think. But no, but listen. He did a statement. This is genuinely sad, right? This has upset me, so stop taking the mic.
I'm not taking the mic. I'm just thinking maybe it's better for him.
Brian Wilson phoned me up at home once. It's no secret I've been living with mental illness for many decades. There were times when it was unbearable, but with doctors and medications, I've been able to have a wonderful, healthy and productive life. However, after my last back surgery, I started feeling strange. It's been pretty scary for a while. I was not feeling like myself. Mentally insecure is how I describe it. We're not sure what's causing it, but I do know it's not good for me to be on the road right now, so I'm heading back to Los Angeles. It crept back and I've been struggling with stuff in my head and saying things I don't mean and I don't know why.
Oh.
I'm going to rest, recover and work with my doctors. That's the saddest.
When did he say that? Was that recently?
This is today.
Because I thought that he'd already thrown in the Brian Wilson towel.
No, he picked up that, he was just reserving a sun lounger. He's picked it up again and was doing this.
Because I thought he did that last big tour because I saw him a couple times on the Brian Wilson version of the Beach Boys. Yeah. The younger guys. Did any of you see that tour?
Yeah.
The thing that I loved about it was, it was in two halves. So when they approached the end of the first half, and he just finished playing his keyboard parts. You know, they had him just set up at the front of the stage with his electric piano, and he would just be plinky plonking along.
He didn't even did he touch it with you? Because when I was there with my six year old went, "Daddy, why is he not even playing the piano?"
He did a little plinky plonky.
Okay. He did some plinky plonky.
Yeah, but he had that kind of Parkinson's sort of frozen aspect.
Yeah.
And but the thing that was quite enjoyable was as they kind of smoothly lurched their way to the end of the song in the first half. He just hightailed it for the exit.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even wait for the closing notes. He just got up and...
goes.
He kind of had a Frankenstein's monster sort of stomp as... I mean, who knows what kind of
medication
he was on.
It's like there's someone off the wings with a remote control going, right, must get Brian back. Now let's bring him back.
It is a little bit like that. So he was just like, whoop, my part's done, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And off he went.
That's sad.
That's why I think maybe it's for the best.
I think it's probably for the best. I saw Glen Campbell on his last tour.
Was that a good idea to do that for you or Glenn?
No. I interviewed him, right? I love Glen Campbell. And I interviewed
him.
And the PR, because when he came out, he had Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Stay there, Alan, stay there, Nigel. And the PR said, he's got Alzheimer's. He's fine. He'll forget what day it is. He's fine. He didn't even remember who Jimmy Webb was when I asked him about Jimmy Webb. And I'm sat there going, oh, my God. Jimmy Webb. Now, and we turned to his wife. Jimmy Webb, do I know that guy? I don't know that. She goes, yes, Glenn, you met him in 1968. And Jimmy Webb. Okay, yeah, I met him in 1968.
Oh.
And the concert was great. But for the whole concert, I was just clutching thinking, I know how ill this guy really is. And then there was a bit, he's doing dueling banjos with his daughter. And he was just in the wrong fret, and he's playing the whole thing a semitone too high, and he forgot the words.
But after the interview, didn't he try to come home with you?
Oh, God, he came home with me and my producer. He left with us, and we had to go, no, Glenn, that's your wife over there. Will you go back? It was awful. It was awful.
But on the plus side, you must have had a trustworthy demeanor.
Oh, God, yeah. I stole his wallet. It was incredible. Have you seen that film about him? I'm Glenn Campbell. I'm still here. I'm still me. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot. So it's a heartbreaking film about that last tour. Mm. And by that, they have to cancel the last few dates and the last few concerts he plays. He's obviously frustrated because his hands are going and and he's just shouting at the band on stage and it's like, yeah.
I'll be me. Were his handlers just milking every last little bit of Glenn Campbell juice out of him?
I think they were doing it. I think they were doing it with love. It was his family. It was his wife and his kids. The band was made up of his kids.
Because Alzheimer's, apparently playing music, listening to music, that kind of brings you back in that awakenings sort of way.
The music, it was, I think that was kind of keeping him alive.
Yeah,
for,
so that
for
was the therapy aspect.
Yeah, but it was
diminishing
returns. It was a little bit rough. I don't think that should happen. Why were you at Abbey Road? Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, no, there's not an embargo on that.
Oh, God. Yeah. I really thought we'd gone to Puckrick's Blacklist.
Well,
which, by the way, is a great name for a show. Now you're back in the groove.
Yeah.
Puckrick's Blacklist. I like that. That works.
All right, good. I was at Abbey Road because I was recording. I was participating in a podcast, which was interesting.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting was I got sort of adopted by this man who's worked there since 1970.
Paul McCartney. Was it?
No.
Okay.
But he's in charge of all of the technical stuff.
Oh, wow.
So he's in charge of things like microphones and
cables.
The cables and the reel to reel, the 8-track, the 4-track, the 2 4-tracks that they had to hook together in order to record Sergeant Pepper's.
Yeah.
The actual microphones that George and Paul and John sang into. And the piano that Penny Lane was played upon. Yeah, went into Studio 2, touched the various instruments that the pop gods had done their magic on.
Lennon's heroin-induced spit may still be on there.
There wasn't any heroin-induced spit, but what there was in the vinyl cutting room, because they actually have a room where they make the original vinyl discs that they used to ship off to the record factories, there was a very interesting ceramic cold cream jar that said boots on it in a very sort of 60s script.
Yeah.
And the technical guy who was showing me around, he'd worked there since 1970, said, oh, yeah, this jar has been here since before I came. And it was the thing that they used to have, like the acetate, like the acetone that they'd stick their cotton buds into and wipe the goo off of the needle that would cut the grooves into the discs. And the thing that was so sweet was he was showing me, like, he was like opening the crown jewels, opening these drawers that would
that means something different over here.
Opening these drawers that had all of the microphones that, you know, each microphone cost £80,000 and this other microphone was £100,000. And you could see that all the younger whippersnappers who were passing him in the hallway had this sort of, you know, kind of affectionate, like, there he goes again. he's got a soft touch there, because I was just nodding and smiling at everything. But it was great because I saw the stuff.
I'm embarrassed. I said induced. I meant infused. Didn't hear anything you said in the past 3 minutes. So I'm thinking, I said induced, I meant infused.
You know what? It's fine.
It's not fine, Catherine. This is why we're losing listeners.
Heron does induce spit, doesn't it?
It does work.
You could have just covered that over. We would never have known.
Nice.
I thought that it worked as well. Yeah, I said it because I thought.
But now I think.
No, I just thought maybe you get really wet lips when
you're on the brown.
When you're on the golden brown.
What was the podcast?
It was a pilot, so I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
That's on Bongo. Right, yeah. Look at you with your secret plans. Now listen.
It was basically pop gossip. So I found myself talking about the time I was at Elton John's house for dinner, and I hope I wasn't too rude to Elton, because frankly, I'd like another invitation.
Yeah, me too. I've spoken to Elton John, as you know, Catherine.
Yeah, it was a very, very intimate
conversation. It was at a fete. And I was looking at the bouncy castle and I was trying to see where you got a ticket for the bouncy castle for my kids. And I went, sorry, mate, do you know who's in charge of the bouncy castle? And it was Elton John who was sat behind me on a bench. And he went, no, I think the person's gone, actually. I think that may be them over there.
No.
Having a laugh.
No, no, I'm not. I am not. And that very, and that was, then he got up and was wandering around and everyone was being very cool going, it's Elton John over there, but I'm going to look in the other direction.
What was Elton John doing at a fete?
I'll tell you later. Right. But then he made the mistake of sitting down in the middle of the fete. Boom. There were, and all the mums suddenly went, oh, can I get a picture? And I would not normally do this, but I thought, do you know what? Sod it. So I grabbed my son, who was 7 at the time, said, boy, come and stand with me. Elton, do you mind? Could we get a picture of you with my son? And my son's there going, who's this guy? So it doesn't matter, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Elton. Thank you, thank you.
It's like Santa in a tracksuit.
It's a great picture. It's a great picture. Love a bit of Elton, though.
But he's, you know, he's sort of testy and touchy, so I can't believe that he was mellow enough to go along with your schemes and dreams.
I think he was having a forcibly happy time.
I let 6 or 7 people test the water before I went in for that picture. Yeah, but I know
that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back.
It's like playing Kaplunk or Buckaroo. You've got to take that risk. You've got to take the risk. Now, what are you doing? Because you didn't even want to come on tonight. There was a weird moment outside where you're going, am I coming? Do you want me? I'm in next week.
I didn't want to presume. Because Catherine and I, so we're sort of organizing your life behind your back.
Flipping it. Yeah.
So we had already had a conversation. Although, Catherine, you say that Ian was fully part of
I was not told that you were coming in next Thursday.
Thursday.
No, yeah. No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
No. That is,
it's actually in the diary.
Your diary?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in your diary. You told me, excuse me, Katie. You told me, no, because it makes it sound like we're doing a thing when you go off mic, and I'm not doing a thing.
I'm doing a thing.
This is real. You told me she wanted to come in tonight and interview me because I'm a celebrity. I'm a very famous.
Was after I'd already told you about the other thing.
And then you said she's going to talk about the thing that night.
She's going to come on, I said. Wow.
Excuse me one second. There we go.
But we can talk about the fact that I did come in expressly to interview you before the show.
Is that not unbongoed?
No.
What did I just talk to you for?
You talked to me for an article I'm writing for The Guardian Guide.
Okay.
About feuds.
Oh, I like The Guardian Guide, and my ex-father-in-law reads that. I could be back in the good books again. This is great. Thank you. So feuds, because I was in the jungle with a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah, so I'm sort of casting the commentators for my article, so I needed like a gossip expert, and I needed, you know, somebody who worked in gossip magazines. I needed somebody who was a television producer, and you know, all that sort of thing, every aspect of the analysis. And then you are my token reality television star.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Yeah.
And what part are you playing in the article, Catherine? Oh, you're not in it. Oh, mate. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a shame. Sorry, I didn't realize, otherwise I wouldn't have mentioned it on the radio.
Well, I mean, technically, if I hadn't have organised it, you wouldn't be in it, so...
That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it does.
Well, no.
It is me, and if I hadn't passed it on, we wouldn't be here.
Okay, well, if you hadn't passed it on...
actually, very important person.
Yes,
that's my role.
It's true.
If you hadn't passed it on, you'd have been a bad friend to two people.
Well... Katie's got to write it up. She may rue the day.
Now, you're coming to see Kelsey Grammer on Sunday.
Yes.
Have you got any questions? I'm hosting an evening with Kelsey Grammer. It's going to be very, very strange. Have you got any questions? Loads of people on Facebook went, why would I want to go and see him? He's a Trump supporter.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is. Big one.
Interesting.
But I said, I don't really care. I'm going to talk to him about Frasier and Cheers and stuff like that. And
the funny thing is I don't think about his political leanings, nor do I think about his fantastic television work. Oh. All I think about is, doesn't he have some weird fetishes or, isn't there some, maybe I'm just getting it confused with the fact that he was married to a woman who had some sort of bowel problems.
Right, so hang on, you're confusing the spouse of an IBS patient with a pervert.
Yeah, yes.
You think he's into colostomy bags and stuff.
Well...
Wow.
I wonder... See, this is the kind of fairyland that makes my world so enjoyable to live in. He used to be a regular on Howard Stern.
Okay.
And there used to be a lot of very kind of gritty and gnarly discussion points. But maybe it did just boil down to IBS and farting.
Okay.
And maybe my sensibility was just a little bit too delicate to handle it.
We'll ask him.
I know exactly what's going to happen. Sunday, you'll go blank, and you'll be thinking, don't say it. Oh, colostomy bag!
You're a dirty coprophile.
Hard Carl.
So what do you want to go now? I don't know. This is because what do you want? Do you want to stay for an hour? Do you want to go?
Do I want to go? Yeah, I probably should go. Wow. Because
wow, incredible scenes here.
I'll get you a car. Let's make it a bit less awkward.
Well, no, but make sure you do, because our guest last night, Nettie Baker, Ginger Baker's daughter, she's brilliant. You'd love her.
You would.
You got her a car, and then she got the train home because you messed up the car.
I didn't mess up the car.
Was there a car for her?
The car let her down.
Was there a car for her?
The car was arriving, so I said, okay, here's your car, and then it cancelled.
I don't think they can find...
Which they keep doing to you, didn't they?
It's just because I took too long to come down from the third floor.
What, when we got a car for you?
Yeah.
That's not what she said before, is it? That's not what...
What did I say before?
I'm going to have to press that cough button again. You just said that you got a message was on its way and then they cancelled. You never... Did we say... We said...
Maybe that was what had happened because it was...
Terrible.
No, I would have said what had happened. I don't remember now, but I know is that I... What I'm saying is I went ding dong, I'm here, and then I walked downstairs and they weren't there anymore. So that's why I'm now saying they probably thought I took too long to...
Wow.
Walk she's down actually, in my little trotters.
Doing, what she's doing there is taking the blame herself when actually we know that it was their fault. Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't hang around for me. Like, was I supposed to be waiting? I don't know what the protocol is, obviously.
I tell you, while Catherine's sorting that, put your headphones on because we're going to make you work for a little bit. Let's
where are they? Here.
If you follow that lead, there'll be...
Hello.
Oh, hang on a minute. Don't tell me. All right. Can you put those through to lines 1 and 2 for us, please? And I'll reset the computer in a second. Let's make you work for a little bit.
All right.
There we go. Let's go to Alan. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
Yeah, I tell you what, my mum's done so well with the physio today.
Alan's mum has been to see the physio today.
Very good. What part of her body is being manipulated?
Well, it's a long story, Katie.
Yeah, don't.
Okay. You did ring up and offer it. Your training aim is to get her to the garage door, is that right?
She's achieved it today.
She got to the garage door!
All right.
This is incredible!
What's in the garage, dare I ask?
Dad's body.
No, we've got a rickshaw.
A rickshaw?
Which is my dad.
Oh, so is the next stage her to pull that to start earning her keep again?
No, we're going to try and get on a mobility scooter.
Okay, that's probably a little bit easier. Well, that could tow a rickshaw. I don't really know how these rickshaws work. Why has your dad got a rickshaw, Alan?
Because he was going to use it to pedal to the allotment.
Of course he was, Alan. Thank you very much. I'm glad Mum's doing better. Let's go to... we'll take one more call, then we're going to take a break, and then you can go. And let's go to Nigel. Good evening, Nigel. Hello, Nigel. Flipper neck, man. Alan, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, put the phone down, mate. There we go. Right, that's that. I got no idea. This is the late night alternative. So we're going to see you next Thursday.
Yeah, I have a job, actually, that I'm going to right now, which is to go home and write about Japanese fart battles of the 17th century.
What?
Why would that not be your opening gambit? And why didn't you interview me for that? For God's sake. Now, what is it based on? Strength or smell or?
It's based on just humiliation and a total lack of respect.
That's what he does in here all the time.
Catherine.
Fart battles.
Yeah,
I don't fight back.
Right. So it's passive aggressive with not
it's
so
not
much.
Passive, it's just aggressive.
Yeah, it's aggressive aggressive.
Well, I can't enter in any fart battles at the moment because I'm suffering from a bit of the Kelsey Grammers. I've got a very, very upset.
It would be one shot and he's done.
All right. Let's laugh at a man who's disabled. Hey, do you know the world? You see, I didn't read the story, of course, just the headline. The World Health Organization are classing, if you're not getting enough sex, they're classing you as disabled.
Oh.
Did you read that?
I knew there was a problem with me.
There you go, you
do
see.
Do we get blue badges?
I think so.
Great.
I'll dig it out and investigate it a little bit further.
So you get to park right next to the front door of wherever you're going.
Of course. That's true. It's a true thing.
Because you're not getting your leg over.
It's a true thing.
You got to get something out of it.
There's got to be, for God's sakes. All right, Katie's going to be here next week. In the meantime, the show continues. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Here we go. Here we go. The cat's away. The mice are going to be running all over the show. Oh, we got some good news as well. Some good news about Katharina Boyle, which I will allow her to say when she comes in. Katie's gone. She's back next week. 03444991000 is the phone number. It's a late night phone-in show, unlike any other phone-in show in the world, in that we're not going to sit here and tell you what you have to talk about. Sure, we'll sit and chat. Sure, we'll kind of do some stuff from the papers and some stuff that's happened to us throughout the week. But you're very welcome to call in with your own bibs and bobs as well. It's entirely up to you what we talk about. It can be light-hearted, it can be silly, it can also be heavy as well. If you switched off because the show was getting too heavy, well, the laughs is back, but we can still do the slightly darker stuff. The phone number, free for most of you to call, pennies at most, and we call you back. The phone number is 03444991000. And that, dear listener, he said, about to use a talk radio cliche, is the number that Dan dialed. Good evening, Dan.
You're right, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Dan. What can you do for us this evening?
Well, I don't know.
Are you on speakerphone?
Oh, there you go. Is that better?
Where do you get off, you people?
What do you mean, where do you get off?
You people. Where do you get off?
What do you mean?
Where's your manners?
Well, it's just easier to hear, I guess.
No. Where's your manners? What on earth makes you think that it's acceptable to phone a speech radio show and be on speakerphone, knowing that, yeah, it might be easier for you, you can scratch your balls, you can have a cup of tea, that we can't hear you?
Yeah, but I've done it before and you didn't complain. What? I haven't run this show in about a year. I don't know if you remember me.
No, of course I don't. Why would I remember a guy, a rude guy, from a year ago that hasn't even got the manners to hold the telephone in his hand?
I did actually have it in my hand, but I had it.
So you had it on speakerphone, but you were still holding it. Well, then what's the point of having it on speakerphone? How difficult is it to move it the 4 inches from in front of your face to your ear and use it like a normal telephone?
That's a long way. Do you remember my Chris Tarrant impressions or not?
No, of course I don't. I bet they were awful.
They were.
Right, so a year ago, you phoned in and did Chris Tarrant impressions.
Yeah, and then I did a Barry from Watford one, and then you tried to get Barry from Watford on the phone. And then I think my phone, died of battery, and I just never called again.
I remember why I'm not remembering now, because you're one of the dullest, rudest callers that they had the misfortune to speak to.
Well, no, I'm not Alan Caddick, but yeah, there you go.
Yes, Dan, what can we do for you tonight?
I don't know.
Right, thanks very much for your call. Unbelievable. Here's my tip, right, for anybody that is going to phone in a show on talk radio, especially my show, the Late Night Alternative, weeknights from 10, okay? It's a phone, right? We're not on The Apprentice, right? It's not, hello, can you hear me? It's a phone. There's a tiny little bit there, that's for your ear, and there's a tiny little microphone there, that's for your voice, right? And they're designed brilliantly. You put that bit next to your ear, and look, you see that bit is right near my mouth. It's incredibly well designed. Incredibly well designed. If you're ever phoning my show, and I find that you're on speakerphone or wearing a headset, I'm cutting you off. He's here to celebrate Gay Pride Month. It's the greatest month to be alive in. Celebrating gay brothers and sisters, members of the transgender community. Whoa, whoa, whoa. LGBTQ+ and the other letters. Happy, 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 happy Pride Month. It's Ken in Newcastle. Happy Pride Month, Ken.
Thank you very much, Ian. Thank you very much.
How are you celebrating Gay Pride Month? They've got a whole month. Aren't you jealous? I'm jealous. How are you celebrating it, Kem?
They're entitled to do what they want. I mean, that's up to them. That's entirely.
How are you celebrating Gay Pride Month?
I wouldn't be celebrating in any way at all, but that's up to them.
You won't be celebrating it.
Free religion, free sex, you do. You
won't be celebrating it. Well, I'm celebrating it.
We're not intolerant.
I thought you weren't going to phone this radio station anymore because it was a platform for gay propaganda.
No, James Whale's show, but.
This show, trust me, buddy, this show's gayer than James's. Oh, it's so much gay. If only you knew how gay this show was. Much gayer than James's.
Okay, that's entirely up to you.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said we can phone about anything, so.
If you're just phoning about Jesus.
So, have you not been honest? Are you not honest? You can't phone about anything?
You can, but I have the right I have the right to tell you that I'm not interested in it.
So you told a lie?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. No, I didn't tell a lie. I said you could phone about anything. You phoned about something, and I'm not interested in it.
I've got to talk about the coming war.
Oh, for God's sake. Ken, I don't want to hear about your war.
See, so you tell lies?
No, I don't tell lies.
You don't like free speech.
You don't like... No, there's no such thing, Ken. Ken, there's no such... Don't put the phone down like the coward you are. Well, let's have this out. There's no such thing as free speech. It doesn't exist. You know free speech doesn't exist.
Well, the war was fought for nothing then.
No, you know free speech doesn't exist.
Who told you that?
It's a fact, and I can prove it to you.
Go ahead then.
Right, there is you can say what you can say stuff, but there are consequences.
Yes.
Certain things you say can get you put in prison. Now, if you class that as free speech, well then good luck to it.
Yes.
Right, but you can't say certain things on the radio. You know that, don't you?
Correct.
Thank you.
You can't promote hatred or warfare or things like that.
But yet you seem to promote hatred all the time. No, I promote the love of Jesus. You don't. You're a horrible old bigot, Ken. And you keep promising me that you're never going to phone me again, and then you just can't resist. You can't resist. Well, listen, trust me, Ken. If you're not phoning James's show because it's a hotbed of gay propaganda, boy, you do not know how gay this show is. This is the gayest, slightly closeted, but the gayest show on the radio, Ken. And I don't want to hear your bigotry. I don't want to hear your nonsense. I don't want to hear any of that. Yes, I would say the same thing to a Muslim gentleman who is promoting the same kind of stuff. I'm not anti-Christian. I love Christians. I love Muslims. I love Jews. I just don't like bigotry and hatred.
Why do you hate Christians?
I don't. If you heard me, Ken, I said.
I did hear you.
I said I'm not a liar, Ken. I said I don't hate Christians.
You hate Jesus.
No.
You hate me.
Here we go. I don't hate you, Ken. I love you. this is your problem. You don't listen, right? I don't hate Christians. I don't hate Christians. I don't hate Christians. I don't hate Christians. I don't hate Jesus. I don't believe in Jesus, but I don't hate him. And I don't hate you, Ken. So where's the lie in that, mate?
Do you mock Jesus?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's hatred, isn't
it? No, it's not. I mock my mum and I love her. But I mock my mum. I mock Catherine
mock
and she's
your
my...
Mother?
I mock...
Why would you mock your mother?
Because she enjoys it, Ken. Because she enjoys it, Ken. I mock Catherine. Catherine's my best friend. I'm totally in love with her as my best friend. I mock her. Yeah, you can mock people you love, mate. Or you can mock people you're indifferent to. And you can mock people you don't believe in.
Well, that's entirely up to yourself.
Oh, God, Ken, you're a broken record and you're very tedious. Thanks so much for your call. I look forward to you not calling again for quite a long time. This, dear listener, is Talk Radio.
We are Talk Radio.